Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 11. I ask, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now, I am speaking to you Gentiles, in as much then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's rise for the gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 15.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she's crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm always surprised at how a fixed lectionary manages to often be quite timely. If you were intentionally picking texts based on the past week, I think you'd end up with these. But leaving aside musings on coincidence. The first two verses of our gospel text establish the basic conflict and the depth of the divide. Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus is withdrawing for a bit because after the feeding of the 5,000, some Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem came out to see the Galilean wonderment and possible revolution. Jesus, never one to win friends and influence people, immediately calls them hypocrites and blind gods. He pronounces upon them that they honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. And then he lectures those Pharisees about what defiles a person. Not what goes in, but what comes out of the mouth. So, perhaps to let things cool down a bit, Jesus moves into an area that was never even part of the kingdom of Solomon. Tyre and Sidon were Phoenician trading cities. And Phoenicia was a seafaring trading empire located at various points around the Mediterranean coast. Its greatest city would have been Carthage, Rome's ancient enemy. So the area that Jesus is withdrawn to is a cosmopolitan smorgasbord of Gentiles. To Jew and Roman alike, though, the worst thing about the Phoenicians was their god. The Old Testament name was Moloch. The Carthaginians called him Baal Hamon. The Baal Moloch demanded human sacrifice, typically children. So when the Canaanite woman, an archaic word even at the time, Matthew's using it for emphasis, this woman, to any good Jew, would be seen as someone who would sacrifice her children to various lords. When she calls out, "Have mercy on me, Lord," what does she mean? She compounds that question by adding, "Son of David." Did she just hear those words as a magic incantation? Does she assume this Lord, Son of David, is just like those Baals? Is she honoring Jesus with her lips, but her heart far from him, like those Pharisees of Jerusalem? Or does she know more? Is what is coming out of her mouth a defilement, or could it be faith? Jesus hears it, but he doesn't answer her a word. And we should understand her crying out, not as a single shout, but as a crowd of people walking with Jesus at the center of the crowd. This woman is standing at the edges, continually shouting, "Lord!" And it's enough that those disciples stop Jesus and beg him, "Send her away, because she's crying out after us." And given Jesus' answer to them, we really need to understand that they were asking him, "Jesus, just give her what she wants so that she'll go away." They've learned since the last time that they asked Jesus to send people away, those 5,000, that there's an abundance in this Jesus if we just ask him. If they were asking Jesus to send her away empty, his answer to them makes no sense. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." They, the disciples, want Jesus to hear her, but not to give her a true place. Jesus' statement confronts that. "What do you think, disciples? Is the abundance of the Lord, the Son of David, enough for the Canaanite? Is this one part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel?" Is it just to keep them quiet, but not to say? It's an uncomfortable question for those Orthodox Jews. And I have a feeling that Matthew is kind at this point because he doesn't record the disciples' response. Instead, he gives the initiative back to the woman, knowing that they're talking about her. She moves from those edges to the crowd center, and she knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me." Again, she's using the word Lord. But as Jesus' reply to the disciples teases at their conscience, is this Canaanite of the lost sheep of Israel. His reply to her attempts to discern what she means and is willing to accept by her use of the word Lord. It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. The Lord of Israel feeds his children. He doesn't demand that the children be fed to him. How do you comprehend Lord? You call me Lord, but I am one that has come to give life and to give it abundantly. Or am I just an alpha dog that demands even your children? A Lord who comes in service, or one who lords it over his pack? The woman's answer to Jesus goes even further than Jesus' confrontational line. I think she could have answered, "Adopt me, make me your child," or some form of acceptance that, yes, to be a child of God means to be Jewish. But she doesn't. She lowers herself while elevating and magnifying God. "Yes, I'm from the dogs." Everything that makes your harsh statements true can apply to me. But the abundance of this true Lord is so much that even the dogs have more than enough. "Yes, Lord, Son of David." Salvation is from the Jews. But this salvation is so great that even Canaanites are no longer cursed, but blessed. And Jesus is floored at this faith. And her daughter is healed immediately. The Christological point is our conception of Lord and tribe. Whatever God we worship, we're always attempting to make them our God. We want to shrink them down to an impersonal force that stands behind who we are. That we can and has been defined in a bunch of ways. I like Revelation's fourfold invocation of nation, tribe, people, and language. The nation would have been the nation state, which can have many tribes, peoples, and languages. We can easily make gods for our empires. The tribe is like a clan. It's less prominent today, but a century ago, there were lots of churches that were the personal property of a couple of clans. And if you weren't part of that clan, then that wasn't your church. The people is the gathering of clans. The great modern example, of course, would be the German church of World War II. But that lets, I think, all of us off too easily. It's real easy to sing, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, our God is marching on." But before singing it, we better check the righteousness of our cause. in language. Just citing the joke about using the original King James Bible that it was written in should remind us of how easily we can think that the Lord only uses our tongue. The woman's faith was that this Lord transcends all of those terms. As our hymn put it, in Christ there is no east or west. The Lord is not our Lord, but the Lord. The Lord of every nation, tribe, people, and language. He might not be accepted as such everywhere. We are always trying to shrink him down. But it doesn't change the reality that he sits at the right hand of God. If we find ourselves too heartily claiming Christ as our Christ, we better check our order. And the mirror that's always present to check that with is that the Lord comes from a particular tribe, the Jews. Of all the great nations, tribes, peoples, and languages, salvation comes through the Jews. To them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are a member, it's not you who support the root, but the root who supports you. If God did not spare the natural branches, none of our little gods are really enough to save. None of our giant gods would be small enough to serve. In Christ, we have the Lord Almighty who came to serve. The Canaanite woman grasped that, but she also grasped the moral point. We want to find our identities in those things that we talked about. And in the modern world, I'd add a couple to those classic divisions. In the Reformation, I think church or confession became a way to build an identity. And lately, we've added sexuality to that list. We want to have pride in our identities, whatever they may be. The woman could have accepted that Christ was Lord of all, but attempted to find a way to salvage pride. But her response was not to salvage pride in any of the identities that we might claim. Her response was abasement. Yes, even the dogs. In the face of Christ, none of those identities hold water. For God has consigned all to disobedience. As secondary things, it's certainly fine to wave the flag. But those secondary identities, all of them, have fatal flaws somewhere. They can't save. And some of them are more glaring than others. Some of them are completely unacceptable for the one carrying the flag of Christ. But all of them, good and bad, share more with each other than they do with Christ. Hitler is closer to Mother Teresa than Mother Teresa is standing by herself to Christ. God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Yes, Lord, even the dog. Yes, Lord, I am a poor, miserable sinner. but you came for sinners. The one identity I retain before Christ isn't something that I take pride in. It's something that I'm begging to be healed. Here in this world, because we are such good, miserable sinners, just thinking through these things can be tough. But the vision that this woman caught is that the lost sheep of Israel covers Canaanites and Orthodox Jews. It's the vision of a heaven where the saints are from every nation, tribe, people, and language. What Isaiah puts forth as a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel, yet others besides those already gathered. While we experience our sad divisions here, we repent. And we look forward to the day when these are all secondary. Secondary identities to the primary. Our shared robe of righteousness, washed clean in the blood of the Lamb on his throne. Amen.